Welcome to the CareNet Conference. We're glad you're here. For those I've not met, my name is Patrick Eads. I'm one of the center service specialists for CareNet, which means if you've got questions, you can call me, email me, or whatever. And grateful for you guys being here. I have nothing to do beyond saying welcome and saying that we're grateful that you're here. Please, the only duty that you have to God and country other than listening and having a great time in this session is for you to fill out your evaluation form. If you don't fill out that evaluation form, I have signed a contract that you will not be allowed out of this room until that's in my hand. So that's the only thing that's requested. And before we have Jack and Isaac come forward, if you're not, just to check, because we have to check this, if you are intended to be an achievable strategy for success, you're in the right place. If you're not here, this will be the time to disembark from this plane and go to the proper plane, right? Because that's where we're heading. There you go. So let me pray, and then we'll let Jack and I.
If you came looking to sit for 4.5 hours and hear a talking head, this will not be that workshop. So that hopefully that'll be good for you, and you didn't want to be bombarded, and you know, after 30 minutes of hearing a talking head. So we're going to try to keep it fun and energetic, give you guys time to meet one another and to share a little about what's happening in your centers. One of the neat things about a conference like CareNet. And how many of you, this is your first CareNet? Wow! Awesome. Okay, we need to stop right here. We're going to hit the pause button. Initiation. Bring out the marshmallows and the chocolate. We need a couple volunteers. Some of you got really excited about that. I saw you smile when I said chocolate. We may distribute chocolate a little bit later. That is great. It's your first year here. A couple things to encourage you about a conference like this. Number one, take advantage of other people like that are in this room and outside of this room throughout this week, to engage with and get to know and find out about them in their center. That's one of the great things about pulling everybody into an event like this, is you can learn from one another, get friendships. People you can call and say, hey, I'm struggling with this at my center. What do you guys do when this happens? And you can kind of meet some friends that way. And the second thing is I want to commend you on making an investment of your time and your money to come to an event like this. As Isaac shared with you, we talk to a lot of centers, and we hear from time to time some of the board members or executive directors say, well, we would go to something like that, but we just really don't have the money. You need to invest in yourself. You're the one that's leading the organization, and so you need to invest in yourself so you can get better. So very good. So glad that you are here today. We're going to talk about, and I am a sweet tea enthusiast. I've already had probably a gallon of sweet tea today, so I am stoked and caffeinated. How many of you are into sweet tea? All right, awesome. Praise God. On the eighth day, God invented sweet tea. Can I get an amen? All right, very good. Just making sure you guys are tracking with me. Here's what I would like to do. By the way, our mission, I don't know if we put this up, I'll tell you a little bit. We do a lot of things, but our mission is pretty simple. And it's right there for you. It's to empower organizations to reach their full potential. Probably one-third of the ministry partners, we don't call them clients, because we really feel like we're getting an opportunity to partner in ministry with people like you. But probably one-third of our ministry partners are pregnancy centers around the country. One-third are missions agencies that are doing work outside of the U.S. in places like the Dominican Republic or Uganda. And then one-third, because Isaac and I both have a background, and we can tell you more about this later if you're interested, have a background in radio. We work with a lot of non-commercial Christian radio stations, mom-and-pop Christian radio stations that are trying to target people with the gospel through music, like you are through reaching young ladies maybe who are abortion-minded. So it's a privilege to be here. But this is our mission. This is our heartbeat. And we're going to invite you to share a little bit today. Here's the first question to get us rolling. What do you hope to get out of our time together today? Because no doubt you've come with some expectations. By the way, we still invest in ourselves. We go to conferences around the country because we want to always be learning and getting better. We haven't arrived yet. We are not experts, and I'll tell you a little bit about what we think about experts a little bit later. But we're not experts. We want to continue to learn. And when we go to these type of events, we always have kind of a preconceived, well, here's what I hope that I'll learn. So I'd like to ask you, before we get going, what is it that you hope to get out of our time together today? And here's the way I'd like for you to share it, because we've got, I don't know how many people we've got in here, 30, 40 people. Could you find a couple of people, and those of you who cheated and you sat in the closed-off rows in the back, I won't point you out, but you're in the back. If you can get with a couple of friends and maybe pair up in threes or fours real quick, go ahead, you start moving, and share with your partners what you hope to get out of our pre-conference today. Introduce yourself. We'll give you about 5 minutes. All right, if you would, with the two or three people that you have in your group, if one of you wants to do this or each of you want to do this, if you could just spend, I know we started off with prayer, but if you could just pray for one another, if one of your triad in your group, or if you've got four, if one of you just says, hey, I'll pray for everybody, let's do that real quick, and then I'll pray, and then we'll jump in. Lord, again, we thank you for the privilege that we have to gather today with these friends and to think about strategy and planning and how we can use all the tools and resources at our disposal to share the greatest news on the planet with abortion-minded young ladies, to give them the hope of Jesus. I pray that you guide our conversation today, that you would show up and you'd be present, because if you're not, we're wasting our time today. So I pray that you speak through myself and Isaac and each of us as we share with those in the room, that we would leave here with clarity. We leave here with a plan, leave here with direction, and most of all, leave here not with with a plan that we've put our stamp of approval on, but a plan that you ultimately have given us and you've birthed in your heart. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. All right, we're going to dive in. This workshop, if some of you hopefully you're all still in the right place, as some people were wondering, is an achievable strategy for success. I'll tell you straight up, that's a BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal to come up with an achievable strategy for success in 4.5 hours that will be applicable to where each of you are with your centers. So we're gonna do our best to give you some tools that will help you do that today, and hopefully that you'll be able to share with one another to help you do that today. So to start us off, that question that I asked you, some of you just share with the group if you would. What are you hoping to get out of our time together today? Some of you just kind of shout out and share. What's your need? What's in your heart that you signed up for this and you're going, okay, I really would love to walk out of here with this by 5:30 or 9:30. We extended it to 9:30, didn't we? Just checking to see if you guys are awake. I was making sure that post-lunch, you know, slumber had not happened. It happened. You guys are doing great. What are you hoping to get out of this afternoon? Awesome. Great. Thank you, Andrew. Somebody else? Yes, Jeff. Wonderful. Yes. Did you say oil funded?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So right now it's a little difficult on the oil side of things, isn't it? There are disadvantages to gasoline prices going down. There's one right there. Okay. Awesome. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am.
We're just a very small center, and we're trying to stop a strategic plan, but we just want to learn how to put some of the pieces together.
Great. Okay. Good. Good. Yes.
I'm the director of our center, but I'm also the nurse stenographer.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Let's stop and pray for you right now again. Wow. Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Yes.
I shared that. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years, just about, and I'm tired. And I think it's about time for me to step aside. But I was really energized and stuff when I first started. I thought we've done a lot of great things, but I'm just looking for a refocus. So I want to pass the baton. I've got a good thing going.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Thank you for your 15 years. Wow. Real quick, anybody in here served in the pregnancy center world longer than 15 years? Longer than 20 years? 25? 30? Way back in the back, our award. Yvonne, thank you. Wow, all of you. So we have veteran leadership in the room. Anybody, this is your first year serving as your executive director at your center? Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Guys, this is the place to be so that we can learn from one another. How encouraging. Wow. Phenomenal. Well, when you think about strategic planning, let me ask you this question. What do you think about when you see those words strategic plan? What comes to your mind?
Direction.
Okay. What else? Goals. Good. What else? Priorities. Awesome. Anything else? Business. Isn't that fun? Anything else? Strategic plan. What comes to your mind?
Timing.
Overwhelming. Thank you. There we go. Now we're getting to some reality words. I like that. Overwhelming. I'll be honest with you. When I think of strategic plan, I think of boring. I mean, I was kind of concerned when Isaac and I were talking about what to call this workshop. I'm like, if we call it a strategic plan, it's going to be you and I, buddy. We're going to be looking at each other. A strategic plan, you know, it's like, do we really want to talk about strategic plan? So I don't know what comes to your mind. I'll be honest. One of the things that comes to my mind is maybe a thick binder that's dusty, that you come to a conference and you fill that binder full of all kinds of stuff, and you have great plans to implement those ideas, and you get back, and because life becomes unraveled, as it tends to do in the center world with all these things, fires we have to put out, those ideas kind of go on the shelf in that three-ring binder, and after a year or two, you look over there, and it's got dust collecting on it. You go, that was great. That just blessed my heart. That was awesome. And so we don't want that to be the case with our time this afternoon. We don't want to give you ideas that are things to fill up a notebook and you go home and put it on your shelf. And so let me say that our time this afternoon is going to be like a friend of mine says, drinking water out of a fire hose. So if you want to take notes, you can. With your permission, with your email address, we'll send you everything on the screen so you'll have a copy of this and all the notes so you can look at it later. But if you can walk away, and I would say this overall with the whole CareNet experience, if you can walk away with two or three things that when you get back home you can implement, you've done well. And as a guy who's attended a lot of conferences, sitting where you are, not presenting but sitting and getting a lot of information, I have a lot of notebooks in my office, I'll be honest. And life gets busy and I get overwhelmed and then I feel like, oh, that really wasn't a wise investment of time or money. And then the next one rolls around and I talk myself out of going when I actually need to go because I need the encouragement of peers and I need to invest in myself. So if you walk out of here today with a couple of ideas that you go, you know what, I can implement those and move the ball down the field a few feet, you've done well. A lot of us, I'm a type A personality, so I have these huge aspirations and I shoot for the stars. And 2 weeks later, if I don't feel like I'm going to get there, I just throw all that in the trash and give up and go, okay, that's done. I'll move on, wait to the next good conference to go to. So I want to encourage you not to feel that way today. And what I'd really like to do to help us, I think that'll get us our brain wrapped around what strategy is all about is hopefully from the very beginning, as we walk through this afternoon, start right now, shifting our mind a little bit on maybe what you think strategic plan is. Because I'll be honest, over the last couple of decades, depending on who you talk to about strategic plan, which, again, sitting in your seat, if you're hearing this information, you'll get all kinds of different answers about what needs to be in a strategic plan. And so then we never get out of the gate to begin to implement a strategic plan because this guy says these four things are in a strategic plan, and this guy says these three things, and it's like, before I can even do a strategic plan, I have to know what is a strategic plan and how do I get even going. And so I want to share with you a little bit of, and some of you may know this, but it may be a refresher for you, but most of you probably are not aware of this, kind of the background on this whole strategic plan and where it came from. Strategic plan is actually a military term. And so you would have our men and women that serve in our military sit around like these folks are on this picture with their map out on the table and discuss, okay, how are we going to take this hill? What weapons do we need? What spies are we going to send out to research and bring back information? And so it is a military word. Even the word, we love to use this in our culture with our team and our staff, the word strategic, because it just sounds powerful. I would encourage you to use that word as much as you can at your fundraising banquet, because it just sounds weighty, doesn't it? Strategic and intentional. There are some great words out there in the English language we need to capture for use in the gospel and for what we do as sinners. And I think strategic is one of those words. But when you see this picture of these military men here, that's where the strategic plan came around. By the way, anybody in here serve? Has anybody served in the military? Thank you. Anybody else? Awesome. Don't get enough credit, our folks that serve for us in the military. So when you think about military strategy and strategy in the context of military, you think about things like setting objectives, collecting intelligence. You know, I mentioned sending the spies out to gain intelligence and to get intelligence about what's going on, how you're going to capture that hill, how you're going to capture that city, what you're going to do, and how you're going to make decisions, cut that supply line or whatever. But a lot of that, again, is based in military terms. So here's some things that come along with that. Any of you grew up watching, I'm going to date myself here, but anybody grew up watching MASH? All right. Hogan's Heroes? Okay, good. I got some friends in the room. Some people who remember those, you know, MeTV shows that come on now that you can get if you have an HD antenna, some of those old programs. If you kind of mentally put your brain in that camp, for those of you that can relate to that, anybody know what MASH stands for? Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. Very good, very good. Just see all kinds of trivia that will not change your life one bit. But I'm glad that you knew that. That's awesome. And so historically, the battlefield obviously was a place where there are a lot of things going on. You guys are in, I believe, I mentioned earlier, the front lines. You're in a battlefield. But some of the things from a military standpoint, when you think about battlefield and you think about what these men face, let me give you three things. And again, we'll send this to you, but if you want to jot them down for memory's sake today, you can. Here's a couple of them. When you think about the battlefield in military setting, here's some things you need to think about. The past was always a good predictor of the future. Okay? So there were years and years, decades actually, of strategic military operations where they learned over time, hey, if we do this, this happens. If we do A, then B happens, right? So they learned from the past. They learned what kind of equipment they needed. They learned what kind of equipment worked. They learned what kind of gear they needed to wear. All that was one of the things that they kind of hung their hat on when it came to military strategy. The past was a good predictor of the future. The power of a soldier's weapons, for example, okay, were important. Or the range of aircraft. All those things are kind of, after decade, okay, we know those things. Those are the constants. Those are the givens. Those are the things that we can count on. Number two, here's something that they realized. Good data was scarce and hard to come by. So how did they figure out data? Well, they would send scouts and spies out. I mean, we even know that happened in the Bible, in biblical times, in Old Testament stories of war. They would send out spies, right, to look at the land and try to bring back information so that they could figure out what strategy they were going to apply. Number three, lines of communication were unreliable. So they had these small numbers of directives that were given as a tactical imperative. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is our plan. And not surprisingly, if you think about it, through all the wars pre-World War II, after all these wars, they figured out, okay, we kind of know what we're doing here. We know what a tank will do. We know what a submarine will do. We all know all these things. These are kind of constant things that we figured out. We figured out tactics. We figured out spies. All that sounds great, doesn't it? Well, about World War II, or right after World War II, some things started changing. What are some of those changes? Well, we had a lot of the strategic plans, so to speak, that had been implemented in the military. A lot of people thought, hey, that works over here in this world. Let's bring this strategic plan that you guys have heard about growing up and I heard about growing up. Let's bring that same model over here into the business world or even in our world of the nonprofit world. Let's just carbon copy that, put it over here in this world. And so as a result, strategic planners, even throughout America, some of the things that they started to use to build strategic plans were the very things that we're talking about. They focused on predicting the future based on history. All right. They focused on investing in gathering data. So, you know, doing surveys, all this stuff. I mean, a decade ago, you may remember this, there was all this huge push on getting data. You know, everywhere you went, not so much today, but everywhere you go, you'd be asked to fill out a survey. And so you couldn't hardly go anywhere. And someone said, can you take this survey and do this or that? Because people were trying to gain information because information was knowledge. All right? Well, this approach was a really good fit to about the 1980s. So those of you who are my age or a little bit older, help me out. Let me ask you a question. In the 80s and all the way up to today, what has changed about our culture? Technology, great. What else has changed?
Information.
Awesome. What else has changed? Yes, sir. Breakdown of the family. Okay. What else? It's a different world. So the guys that we saw gathered around the table a little while ago with their paper and their strategic plan, it's a little bit different now in 2016. It's changed a lot. We've got high-tech tools. We've got technology. We've got communication. We've got globalization. And so the reality is, and this makes it very difficult, as a guy who's trying to run a business and a ministry, and as you ladies and guys try to run your centers, it makes it very hard because guess what? The past doesn't have anything to do with what the future is going to look like anymore. So if you hear people on your board or people in your culture of your organization say, well, this is what we did. And in church work, I was a former student pastor, worship pastor, associate pastor. In the committee world, some of you that can relate to this committee world, the thing that used to drive me nuts that I heard so often was, well, we haven't done it like that before. Guess what? There's a reason for that. Because that doesn't work anymore. That was 1980 or earlier. We're progressed. We're in a new day. And so how are we gonna change? We've got to embrace change. And you see in some of these photos, you know, some earlier photos where they had communication resources on horseback in early wars. And then you've got a dramatic shift at the bottom with some of these pictures with computers and a military guy who's got satellite dish beside him. You know, if you've even seen some of the last military movie that came out with the famous sniper, American Sniper, I guess that's what it was called. What? You know, he's over there in the middle of a war as a sniper, and his cell phone's ringing, and he's talking to his wife while he's got the enemy in the crosshairs of his gun. Hey, honey, how's it going? Well, I'm putting the kids in the car and we're going to the grocery store. Well, I'm out here getting ready to take somebody out. So technology and communications have vastly changed, and we're in a brand new world, and we've got to embrace change. The reality is we've come a long way. We've come a long way. So you see on this slide, from the hieroglyphics of early social networking with the Facebook like in the middle of the page, we've come a long, long way when it comes to communication. And the world is a turbulent, turbulent place. What's really scary is anybody with a new idea can have a startup company just like that, and they can send out through social media, they can send out one tweet, and yesterday they were nobody, and tomorrow they're world famous because they sent out one tweet. So the world's a different place. So what has happened? It's left us as organizational leaders with a real problem. Because the trusted traditional approach to coming up with a strategic plan doesn't work anymore. So let's just give a time of silence because the strategic plan is dead. Thank you guys for coming to our workshop. You can pull out your evaluation form now and we'll fill those out in the back. No, I'm kidding. What do we do? What do we do? What is our response? How do we then achieve success? What's our strategy for success? What do we do? Well, here's what's happened in our culture. I'll be honest. We have two opposing viewpoints. We have some people that are saying, okay, I don't care if the strategic plan of the 80s is dead. I'm going to ride that horse. I'm going to try to put, you know, clear. I'm going to try to revive that horse. That's all I know. I'm going to try to keep on going. And they're going to just push that and push that and push that. And, of course, they're not going to make any progress with that. They're going to have a valiant effort to try to do that. And then the second group of people are going to say, well, there's no such sense, you know, trying to even worry about strategy, because those days are over and I'm going to fly by the seat of my pants and whatever happens, happens. So you have two opposite, polar opposite extremes going on, neither of which will work. So what's our proposal today? Our proposal and our suggestion to you is that we adapt a little bit. And there's a guy named Roger Martin who's a famed strategist. I don't know if you can see his quote up here, but I love what he says here. He says, "The danger, of course, is that while we are using uncertainty as an excuse to put off making strategic choices, the competition may be doing something else entirely. They may be strategizing their way to first mover advantages and positions that leave few, if any, attractive options in the market." He's a professor, was a former professor at the University of Toronto. And one of the things I love about this guy is, if I can be honest, and you'll find out that Isaac and I are just straightforward and honest with folks because we love you guys. We see so many, not just pregnancy centers, but nonprofits around the country that are doing exactly what he says. That they're saying, well, we just don't know, so we're not going to do anything. And all the while they're in fear, they're bound in fear and worry and of the future and of misstepping. I'm not going to do anything because I might misstep. There are abortion-minded young ladies whose lives are hanging in the balance. So that's not an appropriate response for us today as believers. We can't just sit in limbo until somebody else comes along and helps us figure it out. And we see that a lot with executive directors, which I think is one of the hardest jobs on the planet, is being an executive director of a pregnancy resource center. And a lot of board members, and this is a different workshop, we're doing this on Thursday, we'll be talking about board relations, but your board, the degree of strength that your board is to your organization will be the degree of success you pull off a strategic plan. So if your board's kind of sleepy, or they're passive, or they won't empower you as executive director to do what God's called you to do as the leader and the visionary of that organization, you're going to have a very difficult time pulling off any sense of a strategic idea to for your center. So again, if you want to know more about board stuff, we'll talk about that a lot on Thursday in a workshop that we do Thursday. So our option is an adaptive strategy. We like to use the word adaptive. It's not our, we didn't come up with this word. Somebody else came up with it. And innovative. But if you see this graphic up here, it'll kind of outline some changes mentally that you and I are going to have to make when it comes to coming up with strategy for our organizations. So it's basically the mindset of yesterday and the mindset of today, and it'll probably change, you know, less than a year or 2 years from now with our world. We've got to be rolling with the changes and be flexible. But here it is. There's kind of three changes from predictions to thinking, okay, this worked in the past, so we're going to do it now, to experiments, to trying some things that maybe are new and maybe will shock even some of your staff or board members, to step out there and experiment and say where. And obviously, ladies and gentlemen, I would remind you, I'm not suggesting doing any of this without prayer and seeking the Holy Spirit, because that's a given with our time together this afternoon. But taking some steps of faith in some experimental ways to figure out what works for your center. Here's another thing that's changed dramatically from before World War II, let's say, and today when it comes to strategic plans. We do this in the church world a lot, in the Christian world a lot, where we'll see what somebody else uses and we'll say, okay, I'm going to steal that, carbon copy that, and it'll work in my environment. No. There are some principles that will work, yes. But as far as the skin and meat on the bones, God has a special plan for you and your center. Your center is unique. Your community is unique. The girls that are in your area are unique. So yes, there are some things that will work across the board, but I believe God has a specific ideas and plans for your center that He wants to see come about. So we're going to move from predictions to experiments. We're going to move from data collection to pattern recognition. So we're just not all about getting information, but looking at what's happening, going, is there a pattern here? You know, do we keep seeing the same clients, for example? And when we talk a lot with some of our centers about really reaching the abortion-minded young lady, some of the things that they'll say to us is, well, we don't really think we're reaching the abortion-minded young lady. Well, what is your pattern? Who keeps coming in? Well, you know, we're really just handing out diapers to girls who've gotten pregnant, and we're working a lot with the church. That's great. That's a ministry. That's awesome. Well, if you want to see a different pattern, then you've got to change something up. So how can we do that? How can we look at what's happening from a pattern? Execution from the top down to execution by the whole. And I just mentioned that with your board. It's a team effort. And we'll talk more about what that looks like here in just a little bit. So again, these are some principles that work. And when you think about adaptive strategy, here's kind of another some graphics that we've found over the years about coming up with a strategic plan. And again, we'll send all this to you, but I'll kind of let you look at that. When I think about strategic plan, I think about experimenting, especially with this new adaptive strategy. One of the guys, love him or like him, that I have read his biography, and I thought, you know what? And there was a lot of things that I got from this biography, but there was one takeaway that I got was from Sam Walton, who founded Walmart, as you know. And one of the illustrations in his book, he said, I never turned down what I thought was a good idea. And he said, so somebody on our staff came into my office and said, hey, I've got an idea about whatever. He said, if it was a good idea and it fit with what we were doing, I would try it. And he said, if it failed, I didn't look at that as being a bad thing. I looked at that as realizing this is one thing I know won't work. Out of all the things I don't know whether they will work or not, I just took one off the board that I know this will not work for our organization at this present time. And he said, I would make a stack and I just put it in the does not work stack. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty brave. Somebody that's going, you know what? I'm going to be willing to step out and experiment and think about those things when it comes to strategy. So when you think about that today and you think about some of these things that we're showing up here, and I'll talk through this one. I love this, kind of the cascade of strategic choices. And some of what we're going to talk about, we're going to get a little bit deeper here in just a minute once we kind of get past this foundational strategy things. And give you guys some time to really look at where you are and what you're doing. Because to come up with a strategy, you have to kind of know, where am I? You know, if you want to get from point A to B, and you're using your GPS, the GPS has no where, if you want to go to, you know, over here, where are you? So we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. But some of these principles, again, will work. Now, and here's the beauty of this, and we'll talk more about this in just a little bit. The fact that we are where we are in 2016, I don't know what your reaction is. My wife says I'm the eternal optimist because I can look at everything that's bad and I'll find a silver lining somewhere. I think this is awesome. I think where we are as a culture is awesome. I think where we are with communication technology is awesome. I think it's all awesome. You know why? I think it's going to force some of us, including me, for perhaps the first time in a long time to be solely dependent on God to give me the answers. Because a lot of times I've got a lot of head knowledge, I've got education under my belt, and I've got all those things that I sometimes put all my reliance on those. And now we're at a time, I think, culturally where God's going, okay, guess what? If you want to know what tomorrow holds, I'm the only one who knows that. So you can look at the past and try to predict what's going to happen in the future. I think it's going to be awesome. So it's going to cause us as executive directors and center leaders to be more dependent on God and more on the Holy Spirit. It makes me think of a verse. I wrote this down this morning. Proverbs 19:21. It says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So I don't want you leaving here today with going, wow, those guys had some great plans and you're jotting them down and you get back and you try to put some of these things in practice in your center and God does, well, that's a good plan, but that's not my plan for you and it's not my plan for this center right here. So ultimately, that is going to come with your relationship and your communion and communication with God, which is exciting because that means everybody in here is going to have somewhat different of a strategic plan. The foundational principles may be the same, but what you're doing, you may be pursuing, hey, we really need to pursue these. We may need to really rework our entire inner office donor relations, donor management software. Yours may be more technical. Your strategic plan may be more technical. Somebody in here may go, no, we need to be more outreach focused. We need to get more plugged in at the schools. We need to be down there doing the STDs. We need to build more relationships. Yours may be more public relations focused. Does that make sense? Because we're all at different places. So our plans are going to look a little bit different, which is exciting. And by the way, if you ever ride a fad and your strategic plan is just based on a fad, what does that mean? That means it's going to have to change in time because fads come and go. I want you to watch this video, kind of tell about that a little bit.
Yo, bro, you on woo woo? You kidding me? Everybody's on woo woo. Woo woo.
Lock and load, people.
We're going all in on woo-woo. Okay? Mark, comp us up a profile page.
Comp?
Susie, write us some posts.
I'm ready.
Great. Upload some videos.
Uploading.
I want sponsored woos. I want targeted woos. We want to be all up in your woo-woo feed.
Gordon, register our woo-woo handle.
Don't you know the Wu-Tang Clan?
Let's get them involved. We need an ethnically ambiguous woo-woo mascot.
We're cashing in the Q4 budget, people.
And we're buying some followers.
Yeah! All right.
Woo!
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 Woo! Woo! Dude, are you still on woo-woo?
Nah, man. My mom's on woo-woo.
I love that. Oh, I love that. I don't know if you all could hear that or not. Woo-hoo, woo-woo, woo-woo. That's the place to go. That's where everybody's going. Let's spend all our money, make all our investment in that. Next thing you know, the next day, okay, the plans change. Everybody's into something else. So you can ride those trains, and we've seen organizations do that. We've seen organizations spend, we would call it in our world, ungodly amounts of money following some of those fads. And then all of a sudden, a year later, they're like, wow, that whole platform we built to be the foundation for our strategic plan, we might as well chunk because nobody's into that anymore. So you don't want your strategic plan to ride on something like a fad. Talked about experts, and I think he's probably an expert, but I think he's more so an innovator. Steve Jobs, like him or love him. Innovation distinguishes between a leader and a follower. One of the things that we love to say with our culture, and I would encourage you in your culture and challenge you with, is experts know what has worked. Innovators know what will work. You say, well, how do they know what will work? Because only God knows the future. True, only God knows the future. But if you're watching the patterns, not the past, but if you're watching the pattern, some of those things that were on that graphic that we looked at real quickly, then you can, in a sense, kind of figure out what people are thinking and what the pattern is going to be, not necessarily what their behavior is going to be. And obviously, he's done a phenomenal job because I'm looking around the room. Not everybody maybe has an eye gadget, but there's a large majority of you in here that have them. So this was a guy, I believe, who was an innovator and saw the patterns of human behavior and communication, which we talked about a minute ago. And because of that, you know, the rest is history, as they say. So what we want to try to do in light of that today in our limited time is to help you, and we're going to break up and give you time to do this as a group here in just a minute, but to develop a very basic roadmap, if you will, of the terrain on which your organization is, and the road on which you need to ride to get to the next destination. Okay, does that make sense? So in the process, we're going to talk through a lot of things that will help you be navigational tools to move down that road. Some things like how do you communicate to donors, because donors are going to be an integral part of your strategic plan, because you're going to need money to implement your strategic plan. So one of the things about pregnancy care center work that I love is there are very few pieces that are kind of one-off things where if you touch this piece over here, it doesn't radically affect everything else, which is a good thing. I know sometimes it feels like it's a bad thing because it's like, if I change this over here, it's going to change everything. Well, yeah, it does, because it's all kind of hooked together and interwoven together, which is not a bad thing. The other thing that we want to help you do is to realize, and this is a hard one for me, there may be multiple roads to lead to your destination. Now, we're not talking about salvation and Jesus in here, okay? So don't leave the workshop going, he said there are a lot of different ways. He won't be back at CareNet. No, that's not what I'm saying. For you and I on our destinations God has for us in our strategic plan, there may be a lot of different roads. We were talking to a center executive director at lunch today who's a dear friend, and she was talking about losing her nurse, only nurse that they have. So they were a clinic, and now how are they going to be a clinic because their nurse is gone and the cost of that? And we're thinking, okay, you're looking at maybe one avenue to fulfill that. Maybe there are multiple avenues to get to where you want to go. So we're going to talk to that a little bit this afternoon. The other thing is, this may be scary for you, but the destination may actually shift along the way. One of the things that I'm involved with in our community, I won't chase this rabbit too long, except hopefully to make an illustration that will make sense to you. But I'm involved in our community where I live in Greenville of helping a team plant a church. And when we first sat down with our four couples and decided this is what we were going to do. We didn't call it a strategic plan, but that's kind of what it was. This is what we're going to do to reach people, and we didn't want to steal other people from other churches. We really wanted to reach lost, unchurched, de-churched people that were not plugged in anywhere. We had our plan and we had our destination in mind. But as we started moving down the road, we realized, you know what, if we actually are going to reach those people, we have to move our destination over here because those people aren't going to go there. So you've got to be open to letting God change your mind. And I found out in my 30 years of being a Christian that sometimes God will, He doesn't deceive you, but God will sometimes tell you a little bit so that He gets you and I to actually get out of our comfort zone and take a few steps this way. And then He goes, well, now that you're over here, we're going to go over here. So you've got to be willing to do that mentally. And there's a couple in our group that the wife, she's very legalistic, can I say? And she's thinking, well, I thought we were going over there. She feels like we've abandoned everything because we're not going to the destination. The destination was to reach people. And if the destination that we put on the map is not reaching people, if we're not achieving our objective, let's move the destination. We get bound up and all. It's like getting bound up in bylaws and, you know, all the stuff in church work sometimes. So I hope that's, is that tracking with you guys? I see you nodding, so that's good. So sometimes what do? We have a lot of assumptions. So we see what's on the top of the water. We don't realize there's a lot of stuff underneath the water. So be open to what God may say to you even this afternoon. Let me stop for just a second. Any questions so far? Or thoughts or feedback? Or is this helpful? You guys talk to me. So far so good. Awesome. Any other thoughts? Yes. Woo! Awesome. 6 months.
And so I have been learning a lot. And to me, this is confirmation that when I went, I questioned everything. Why are we doing it this way? What's the purpose of this? And I've just kind of, it just had a whole reevaluation of everything because it didn't make sense to me what they were doing, where they were at. And so it's really good stuff.
Good. Thank you. It. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Anybody else? I saw a hand back there. Yes.
Yeah, I just have a question or maybe a comment. When you said, when you talk about Sam Walton and stepping out and experimenting, and I would love to do that, but I know with our resources, one of the questions is, okay, if we experiment there and it doesn't work, they're just went $5,000 or $400 or whatever. And so that's a struggle for a lot of us.
Yes.
If you do that and then if it doesn't work, justified, I just spent that money and it didn't go where I thought it was.
Yes. Great comment. I'm tracking with you. And those are, again, where you have to be ultimately dependent on the Holy Spirit in prayer to figure out. And I'll tell you this. I'm going to say some things that are cliche. And the reason that cliches are cliches is because most of them are true. That's how they became to be a cliche. I hear what you're saying when it comes to that, and especially when it comes to reaching people. But the thought that I had when you said that, as far as the cliche part, was thinking through. You know what? I may hold that because that may apply to something else in a little bit. But as far as the money part, let me just say real quick. On our church plant, for example, and I'm just using that because that's personal and I can connect to it. We just spent $3,000 plus on printing a flyer and mailing it out through the post office within a radius of where we're going to meet. And we're actually going to meet in a CrossFit gym. And that's on purpose because of what we found out over the last year and a half. And I will tell you, it's a $3,000 experiment. And I'm scared to death. Now, I feel like I've got a clear word from God. And it happens on September the 24th. And some of you know Mike Williams, who's a dear friend of mine, and he's here at CareNet and a comedian. He's going to come in and do a comedy night. And we may have 10 people or we may have 500 people.
Jack, they're invited if they want to come.
Yeah, and you're invited to come if you guys want. It's in Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah. But here's the scary part, and this I even think more so for your seat to kind of track with what you're saying. The scary part for me, because this was my idea, is if it flops, God and I are having a major conversation. But if it flops, I've got a team of people who are going to look at me and go, okay, was that bad pizza you had, or was that the Holy Spirit who told you to do that? So it's scary, which is really caused me, again, as I said earlier, so I'm not telling you guys anything that I'm not experiencing. It's caused me to really say, God, is this what you want us to do or not? So, yes.
I was going to say, some experiments don't involve cash.
Yes.
Some
right.
Yeah. Whether it works or not, it may not be something that actually touches the bottom line.
That's right. And you've got to be willing to experiment. And here's the other thing. We are all about, as people, especially here in North America, which if you don't get out of the country much, I'm not here to champion missions, but I would champion missions if that was my assignment today. But if you're not out of the country much, I would encourage you to do that. Because only in North America do we rate. We have scorecards for our success that sometimes make no sense. And again, that's another workshop that's not even on the program all week, I don't think, as far as scorecards. Because we're going to measure those by, in my case, how many people are going to come to that event with Mike Williams. That's going to be what everybody else is going to measure. God may be saying, actually, I wanted you to do that because I wanted you to learn how to experiment. Which, if that's the case, I'm going to be going, God, that was a $3,000 experiment. Couldn't you teach me a cheaper way? But you know what I'm saying? So we got to look through the lens that God wants us to look through. Good feedback. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, with that, I get the whole experiment thing, but then sometimes these experiments are seen by the public, and then when they fail, especially with donors, how do we present it in a way that they don't look at this ministry doesn't know what they're doing?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. It is. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Okay.
But that's a good question. No risk, no reward. Yes, absolutely. That's right. That's right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's good. Yeah, we get in such a box, even in our work as center directors, just because, and we have to operate in the culture with which we live, but I think somebody said something about living in the world but not being of the world. Who said that? You got a slide for that? I can't remember somebody. That's hard to do, right? I mean, this is one of the things that we're talking about. It's easy to kind of throw that quote out there that was Jesus, by the way. But living it is different, especially in our centers and in our world that what we live. So what do we have to do? How do we change our minds? I'm going to speed up just a little bit, but stop me. This is great. I love you. I love feedback. A couple of things we may have to do on changing our minds changing our mindset is we may have to abandon a few things so we don't have these assumptions. We may have to abandon our focus on predictions, which again, the chart and the graph, the adaptive strategy change. And that's hard. It may be hard for your board because that may be the way that they've operated for years. Is what did we do last year? Well, let's do that again, but let's one up ourselves. That kind of thinking, I'll just be honest, scares me to death. And I see that in church work, in ministry work, all the time, where let's make last year. I'm not saying don't make your consecutive banquets better and you want more people because it's a potential to get more donors. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But if the only goal is to make it bigger, better, at some point you're going to hit a ceiling because you're only going to have so much money to bring in the next greatest banquet speaker or bring in the best food or what. You're going to hit a ceiling. And so I chase a lot of rabbits. I have some pastor friends who post things on Facebook about, oh, you can't wait. Don't miss this Sunday. But I'm thinking, what do you do when you run out of that emotional hype? Especially if there's nothing sustaining behind it. Now, if there's something sustaining behind it, that's great. So anyway, we got to abandon our focus on predictions. We got to move into that experimentation we're talking about. We've got to not worry so much about getting all this data. Data is important, but recognizing patterns so we know which data to look at. Especially even in the world, and we'll talk about this, Isaac will talk about this in a little bit, being connected on social media. Social media probably needs to be a part of your strategic plan somewhere in there. And with that one module, so to speak, that one piece of the pie with a strategic plan of social media, if that's one piece of the pie, you could get totally overwhelmed with social media. I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Pinterest, and I'm on Twitter, and Instagram, and MyFace, and FaceSpace, and, you know, all this. It's like, which ones am I going to focus on? So you've got to be strategic and recognize which data that you need to help you figure out your strategic plan. Last thing, as far as assumptions, we've also got to find ways to delegate authority. And I would say build our team. The strategic plan, hear this, the strategic plan God has for your center is bigger than you. And so if you're building a plan that only you can do, have at it. And when you need God's help, He'll probably be standing in the wings going, when you need me, let me know, because that plan you can do by yourself. So you're going to have a plan. We like to say it's a God-shaped, God-sized plan. And what that does is it also is going to require you, and we can talk more about this. We'll stop and continue to take questions and can dig deeper wherever you guys need us to do that. But talk about developing a group of people to help you, whether it's volunteer, whether it's a staff. There's some words that a dear friend of ours gave us, probably 2 or 3 years ago. His name's Dr. Neelan Brown. Awesome African-American brother. He's my brother from a different mother. He used to be the executive director for Focus on the Family's Leadership Institute. And we were talking one day about how we could help centers and nonprofits with what we're talking about right now, with building a team and how it applies to strategic plan and growing your organization. And he gave me 4 words. So I want to give them to you. I don't think this is on the slide, but it'll be in the notes that we can email to you. He said, Jack, he said, you can choose to, and he's even talking to me in our organization. He said, you can choose to be a doer, where you just do and do and you do everything. It's a one-man show. One woman show, one person operation. Or you said the second D is you can delegate. And there are people that you need to delegate tasks to, volunteers. He said, but the challenge there is at that level, they're usually coming back to you going, okay, now what? They're assignment focused, task focused, now what? He said, or you can build those people and develop those people. The third D, develop those people. And he said, I would even encourage you to push even beyond that to designing. Where you're at a point where you're designing processes and systems that will help, and what we're talking about, that will help feed your strategic plan. You'll begin to build a machine, so to speak, so that you're the overseer. You're not the sole implementer. Because if God's given you a vision and a plan, we're going to talk about that, a mission in just a minute, for your center, again, it's going to take more people than just you. And obviously we know it's going to take donors and community and board members and those kind of things. So, instead of kind of sticking to this, we make a plan and we kind of stick to it process. What we want to try to think through this afternoon in our limited time together is how we can experiment our way to success, be willing to modify and change. The organizations that are winning, whether they're pregnancy centers, missions agencies, or they're for-profit companies, the companies that are winning and organizations that are winning in America are organizations that can recognize the pattern, see what's changing in the culture, and shift and make a change and be aware of what's going on. And most of us, just because of our positions, our heads down, we're in our office, we're heads to the ground, we're going, and so it's hard to even be aware of what's going on. Watch this video about being aware and see if this makes sense to you. This is a test. You will be graded.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
Go!
The answer is 13.
Anybody get it? 13.
But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
Did you see him that time? No? All right, roll it again. They gotta see it. The moonwalking bear is what you're looking for.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
No!
It's easy to miss something that you're not looking for. Isn't that the truth? So we're going to talk about how to be aware, how to look around at what's going on in our culture and our organizations, and how to begin to start putting together a strategic plan. We're going to give you a stretch break or a restroom break for about 5 minutes, and then we'll jump back in and start diving into this whole strategic adaptive plan idea, okay? All right, welcome back.
Test 1, 2.
Grab you some chocolate or some candy in the back of the room.
Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2.
Okay. We'll get back at it. Great questions. Thank you so much for the questions and the participation. You're helping us all stay awake by doing that, so thank you. If you do have a question, and you'll be brave enough to go to the microphone just for recording so that we can capture it, I failed to repeat some of those questions. So those of you who are watching the home version later, or those of you that are live streaming, can everybody wave at our live stream people? We're not live streaming, are we? Okay. When you see the video or hear the audio, I should say later, we'll have the questions on there. So if you don't mind grabbing the microphone, that would be great. So you saw the dancing bear, thank you, through the crowd of people there. We're talking about being aware of your surroundings, which is one of the key things when it comes to coming up with a strategic plan for your organization. You got to know what's going on around you. So we're going to jump into some of that right now. We talked about the military to kind of set our background on strategy. And when you think about military, there was a fighter pilot who, we mentioned World War II, who kind of began to change the mantra for what the strategic plan was when it came to our military to more of a 2016 version, John Boyd. And they had this continuous cycle of these four words that he had been given in the military. It was observation, orientation, decision, and action. And if you go back and you read about him, I'll just kind of tell you real quick because you probably don't have time to do that. He felt like, hey, I keep getting into this. It's like a cycle. I keep getting into these four things and I never really do anything. Because if I get ready to act, I'll slide back into this observe, orient. And he saw strategy because of that. He said it just kind of became this mental loop that you got trapped in. You never actually got out and applied anything. And so he took out decide and act, and he just said, I always just need to be observing and orienting as I am operating. So it goes back to that whole awareness thing, being aware of what's going on. In other words, even from your marketing and trying to reach abortion-minded young ladies, if you're not keeping up, we laugh at the woohoo video, but it's funny. We do a lot of work with, you know, the millennials, as they say, which, by the way, my little millennial talk would be this. They're no different than Generation X, baby boomers, or Generation Y. They want to be listened to. They want to know their voice counts and they want to be cared for because that's human nature. That's what we all want. So that's for free. You didn't pay for that. But what John Boyd is saying is just to move from observation, orientation, and be aware of what's happening around you as you're moving. So the Woohoo app that we laugh about in our work with millennials, we have a lot of them, you know, Facebook, they're not on Facebook anymore because grandma's on Facebook. So they've bailed on Facebook. They don't want to know that their secrets they're posting on Facebook are known by grandma. So they've jumped over to, you know, Snapchat or Twitter or Instagram really is the big one. And we'll talk more about that, Isaac, in a little bit about which of those social media outlets you as a sinner should take advantage of that right now at least are where your target audience is. So here's the approach. I showed you the graphic just a minute ago, this new fluid approach that we're talking about with adaptive strategy. And thinking really about four things. So anybody know what this, if you took the words off of this symbol, anybody know what this symbol is? Okay, you guys must be Mac people. That's a Microsoft logo if you take off the words. Another trivial test that will not change your life at all. But four equal parts. And I want to give these to you. And then I'm actually going to take one out for our time today and try to simplify it even more because we've got limited time. Again, this is like drinking water out of a fire hydrant. But the four parts that you should include, we believe, in your organization, and again, this is fluid, this is adaptive in your strategic plan, are what's your vision you're wanting to pursue, how you're going to make a difference, how you'll succeed, and again, I'll email all this to you, and what capabilities it'll take to get there. I'm going to break it down for our time and sake of discussion today to really three things. The three-legged stool, to me, is easier to remember than a four-part equation because I'm slow. And I can, as a guy, I can only handle about three consecutive thoughts at a time. And after that, my brain starts smoking. So here they are. Where are you now? Where do you want to go? How are you going to get there? I have a pastor friend who just took a church as a pastor, and he has surrounded himself with two other people. And here's the way he described it to me. And when he described it to me, I'm like, I really, really love that. He said, God's given me a vision for this church and for this community. He said, but I need somebody around me that's going to help me figure out how we're going to get there. And I need somebody who's going to tell me how much it's going to cost. So he said, my two right hands, he said, if I can have two, my two right hand people are one guy who's going to help me think through logistics of how to accomplish my vision. And one guy who's going to tell me how much it's going to cost us as a church to do it. I said, man, that is great. So it's a team of three instead of a team of one. So anytime he presents anything to their congregation, it's all three of them. It's not one guy. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the team, a vision being bigger than you. The three-legged stool. Most of you also have heard this quote probably from Benjamin Franklin, failing to plan is planning to fail. So today we want to help you do some planning. Benjamin Franklin's good, but I actually like one from the scripture a little bit better found in Luke 14:28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost and see if you have enough money to complete it? And that goes back to what our friend in the back mentioned a little while ago about thinking through even some of your experiments prayerfully, strategically, with a team of people, the counsel of other people, deciding, okay, is this what we feel like God is telling us to do? And then stepping out to do it. So in essence, and you guys know this, it's hard to accomplish anything without a plan. I mean, my mother-in-law has us all over for Thanksgiving dinner, and I can tell she has got a plan. I mean, there are people that she strategically planned to come in the door at certain times with certain foods that are going to be on the big table. She's got this thing down to, I mean, she is well thought out. So if we can plan out Thanksgiving dinners and we can plan out, coaching a football team and blah, 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 we need to come up with a plan for running our center that God has given us to lead. And we want to try to help you do that today. So even I mentioned the football, football teams. I don't know how many are into football or college ball. Our Tigers barely pulled it out this past weekend. Clemson Tigers. I threw that in for him because he's a Clemson Tiger fan. So how do you come up with a plan? Here's what you got to know first of all. So I'm going to put some of you on the spot. To know where you are going, you have to know where you are, right? So would some of you stand up and share with us in what we call an elevator speech, a couple minutes or less. Elevator speech, you get in an elevator, somebody says, so tell me about your center. And you've got between floor two and maybe floor three or the fourth floor to tell them what your mission is, what is it? Some of you, and if you can use the mic, that'd be great, or shout real loud. Some of you share with us what your, for your particular center, what's your, why do you exist? What's your mission? Yes. Fantastic. He was asking me to repeat it. There's no way I can repeat that. All right, somebody else. That was good. Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Empowering healthy choices for life by providing compassionate, holistic, reproductive health care. That's our mission statement.
Awesome. Anybody else? Maybe one more? Sure, that would be helpful. I'll get bad points on my evaluation. I need all the help I can get.
To provide life-affirming solutions and physical, emotional, spiritual support to women, men, and families experiencing unintended pregnancy as we promote a culture of life.
Okay, great. All right, just a minute. We're going to break up and give you guys and ladies time to encourage each other with discussing what your mission is. I hope you can say yours like those individuals did quickly. Here's the challenge. If we have donors, staff, volunteers, people who want to know what we do, and we stumble around and we can't articulate it, if we can't articulate what our mission is now, what our reason for existence is now, how are we going to articulate to people where we want to go? So we've got to be able to talk about where we are now, our reason for being, our mission, before we can talk about vision. Mission is why you're on the planet. What's the reason your center is there? Vision is we want to reach 100 abortion-minded girls in the next 12 months. That's a more of a vision statement. That's where you want to go. Okay, wow, how are you going to do that? If your existence is to do what these individuals said is your mission, that's great. And your vision is to reach 100 abortion. How are you going to do that? So we've got to know where we are to know where we're going. And what we've really got to be willing to do is to change. So, again, going from more of this old school, what we would call the old school strategic plan to an adaptive plan, we've got to be willing to change and do away with some of those things that we talked about, like the grasshopper turns into a butterfly. And we've got to walk away. I already heard somebody say it to me during the break. We've got to walk away from insanity. Anybody know the definition of insanity? We are so good at that in Christendom, in the Christian world. I cannot for the life of me understand why we get caught in this cycle of doing the same thing over and over again and thinking that the outcome's going to be different the next. Well, let's roll the dice again. Let's try it again. Maybe it'll turn up snake eyes. You know, let's keep doing that. It doesn't work. One of the things that's really neat, and we're privileged to do this with a lot of our centers, and by the way, we have people come into our organization and do this. You ever notice how interesting it is to have a fresh perspective or a new set of eyes come in? We were with a center back in Illinois just a month or so ago, and they had gone through a rebranding of their center, and they sent us, we actually helped them with a logo and some other things. Logo is not the only thing for rebranding, by the way, but we helped them with a lot of things. And they said, why don't you come up and see what we've done? And we pulled up in the parking lot, and what's on the top of their building? The sign with their old logo. We went inside.
They paid $2,500 2 months before to put that old logo up.
Yeah. So we go inside and there's just these new colors and new brochures and it's like looking cool and, you know, 2016. And we asked her about the sign and she's like, what are you talking about? She had just forgotten because she sees that sign every day. You know, it's like, no, we don't see things when we're kind of the forest for the trees. We're in that world all the time. It's great to bring in a fresh perspective to help us out. So, I want to give you an acronym, and then I'm going to let you break up a little bit and do some work together. You may have seen this, a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so if you're always kind of looking through those lenses as you're looking at your plan, how's this going to strengthen us? Is this going to weakness us? Or what things do we need to change where we're weak to be able to accomplish what our plan is? What threats are we going to have? If we step out and do something like this, what are our donors going to think? How do we need to package our wording and our verbiage and the things that we say so that our donors stay on board? Kind of evaluating those. We'll talk more about those in a little while. So it brings to the question, how healthy are you?